Welcome to Capital Ideas. This is where members of the Majority Democratic Caucus in the Washington State House of Representatives sit down at the Capitol and talk about ideas. Today's guest is State Representative Shelley Kloba, and in a minute we'll be talking about marijuana. Before we get there, though, I should mention that Shelley is midway through the second year of her first term in the House. She's vice chair of two standing committees, and she hails from Kirkland. Shelley represents the fine people of the 1st Legislative District, which includes parts of Northeast King County and South Snohomish County, and comprises areas of Kirkland, Bothell, Mount Lake Terrace, and Briar. We recorded this in Olympia on Wednesday, January 31st, 2018, and it went like this. Welcome, Shelley. I really appreciate you giving Capital Ideas and the listeners a few minutes of your time.
Well, thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
We're here to talk about a bill that I think a lot of people have never even conceived of, because the idea of legal recreational marijuana or legal medical marijuana is still relatively new. You've got a bill that you've been working on about people being able to deliver medical marijuana to medical marijuana patients. Where did this bill come from?
You know, it was interesting to me on a tour of a retail store that does some sales to marijuana, medical marijuana patients. I just noticed out of the corner of my eye that there were a couple of different people, customers, coming into the store who had some movement difficulties. One used a power chair, one used a walker as an assistive device. And it occurred to me that the conditions for which they need the medication also make it difficult for them to get around. And as I talked more about this to other folks who have had the need for medical marijuana, I realized that there are additional groups of folks for whom transportation or just even getting out in the community is difficult or problematic. And so, you know, if you can imagine someone with cancer, they're possibly going to be with chemotherapy, which makes them nauseous and weak and oftentimes immune compromised. And so for them to get to a store can be dangerous. And often it's difficult to have someone go and pick it up, you know, if they're not familiar with it. And it just seemed like a fairness issue that we ought to be able to help out folks who are just having difficulty getting this medication that's necessary for them.
Explain one thing. Now that recreational marijuana is legal in Washington State, I know that during the transition from medical marijuana being legal, recreational being not, there was a whole lot of complication involving how to meld those two systems. What is the status now of medical marijuana? Why does that distinction even exist? Do medical marijuana patients get a break on sales tax, or do they have their product come from a different shelf in the pot shop?
Well, you're absolutely right on the break. So because it's a medication, they would not need to pay sales tax on the product. That makes total sense to most people. And then in addition to that, if you have the authorization from your doctor and then you get the medical card, it allows you access to products that have a higher active ingredient level than you can purchase on the recreational side of things.
So that would be higher THC?
And yeah, THC, CBD, and you have a higher limit for possession, just because it's a different amount that you might be using therapeutically. And so those are distinctions that you might be able to do. But I think, like you alluded to, you can walk into a retailer who is able to serve both parts of that market. We have a fairly new job classification. It's a certification you can get as a medical marijuana consultant. And so that's a person that you can walk into the store. They are trained in how to process your authorization from your doctor, and they can give you some product knowledge as far as, you know, given the condition that you are taking this for, here are some product options that will be able to help you. Because I think a lot of times this is a very foreign concept for most folks, and we don't know very much about the products that are available to us. So I think it's very helpful to have that person in the store that has the knowledge base that can be helpful.
And it's likely that most doctors don't know what to tell them to get.
Indeed, that is also true. You know, when you have a pharmaceutical representative come into a medical office, they're going to give all kinds of information to the doctor as to what is appropriate, what are contraindications, what are some interactions. And so doctors feel very comfortable prescribing those products. giving a medical authorization for marijuana is a little tougher because they just don't generally have that kind of familiarity. So this kind of fills a little bit of that gap.
Let's jump back now to your specific bill. One of my first jobs after I got a driver's license was driving a delivery pickup truck for a pharmacy in San Antonio, Texas. At that time, you know, I would go out and I would collect $3 for a prescription, or they even would send out over-the-counter drugs. If somebody called up and said, I need some cough syrup and a package of certs, then I would get in the truck and take it to those people. That was fairly easy. I know there's going to be other problems associated with this type of delivery. And these are things that you anticipated in your bill, correct?
Exactly. And that there's a generational thing. I know what certs are. It's a breath mint.
And a candy mint.
Candy.
It's two mints. Two mints in one.
Oh, my goodness. The advertising is coming right back to me. But yes, back to the delivery. Certainly, this is a little bit different than the kind of products that you were delivering as a young person. I wanted to make sure that not only can the patient feel safe having someone show up at their door, I also wanted to make sure that the community felt safe and we protect all of the things that we have within the 502 law. So making sure that it's not getting into the hands of children, making sure that the delivery person sees ID at the door to make certain that this person is over 21 and that they have a medical card, the registration card, or if it's authorized for a child, a minor, that the adult is showing the correct verification so that it's not getting into the hands of people who should not have it, and making sure that it's a car that is not marked as such. You know, maybe your pizza delivery of your choice will have some sort of logo on it. You know, we don't want to have your house be a target because you have a delivery car from a cannabis retailer sitting in your driveway. Some of the concerns that we heard were about the safety of the delivery driver who is carrying some product that's highly desirable and very valuable, and oftentimes they're carrying cash. We certainly don't want the safety of the drivers compromised either. There are some products like an app-based programming that other states have utilized in their delivery because many other states who have regulated cannabis allow delivery even within the recreational side. This is foreign to us here in this state, but it is not something that hasn't been done elsewhere. So one of the things I felt fairly certain of is that the technology is out there to be able to take care of payments, take care of the verifications. Certainly the traceability is an important part of our regulated system so that we know exactly, we can trace that product from, we say, seed to sale. So from when it first is produced or grown, then through its production process, and then to the final retail sale point. And so absolutely maintaining that traceability system through this delivery program is another key part that I was interested in.
The bill that you wrote would have allowed this system to begin operating.
Correct.
The bill that was ultimately passed out, which I know you agreed to, was what they call a substitute bill. It creates a directive to the Liquor and Cannabis Board here in Washington State to study how to make this work and to return to the legislature no later than this coming December with their results.
I have been very appreciative of the Liquor and Cannabis Board and their willingness to look at the goal that we have here, and they do agree that that would be something appropriate, to have the opportunity to deliver to medical cannabis patients. Their concerns were over the implementation. And one of the things that's important to me, because I have experienced having alcohol delivered to my door through one of the private carriers, and the law says you're supposed to card for that. And it was dropped off at my doorstep, and I was not carded. That bothered me a lot because of the implications, I'm sure you can imagine. So I really made sure that written into this bill, and thus into this study, is taking a look at the civil penalties and the administrative actions that the regulatory body can do when there are violations of the rules that we set up. I really want to make sure that the rules are in place and that they have teeth, that there's enforcement and penalties.
What's the status of the bill right now? I know you had a hearing in the Commerce and Gaming Committee.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we had a hearing, and it has been passed out of committee with a due pass recommendation, as we say. It is sitting in Rules Committee at the moment, and I do hope that we will see it on the floor this session. It doesn't have a Senate companion, so this is kind of the only opportunity that this idea or this concept has. But after, and I have my fingers crossed on this, after we pass it off of the House floor, it'll go back to the Senate and go through the same process, which, you know, is part of the fun of this place. We all get our chance to consider the big ideas.
I know there's a lot of lawmakers who automatically hit the no button if the issue has anything to do with marijuana. How do you feel about the prospects for your bill? Because that is one thing I know that the Rules Committee takes into account when they're thinking about which bills to pull, mm-hmm. is which bills are going to pass.
That's true, because we certainly have limited time and we want to spend our time on the bills that have at least a chance. So, you know, I respect the folks who kind of do an automatic no with anything with the word marijuana in the title. And I understand that they are often reflecting a voice in their communities. But I have a lot of hope that because this is a very narrow bill, I think it's a very careful bill, and I think it can have an appeal to folks who might not otherwise be interested in medical marijuana or marijuana at all because of that medical aspect and because of the way that it can really have an impact on patient care. You know, we hear a lot about the opioid crisis in this country, and this is one tiny slice, I think, of a broad-based solution. If we can find ways that people can manage their chronic pain using a product like cannabis, that really keeps them out of that whole world of opioids and all of the related problems and dangers and quite frankly, the life-threatening nature of that drug, whereas cannabis is far safer. There is not the overdose opportunity like you have in opioids. And so I really feel like there will be some things in this bill that can be appreciated by folks who might not otherwise think favorably about marijuana. And I think the reality is that many of us know someone. We might not realize that we know someone who uses marijuana in a medical reason, but many of us do know people who are finding great relief from this product. Many of us know folks who've been through terminal diseases that were helped by this, and many of us know someone who maybe is a veteran and has PTSD, and it allows them to go on with their everyday life instead of going down a real difficult pathway. So I'm hopeful.
Hopeful is a great note to end this episode of Capital Ideas, but what I want to do is make sure that you get back to me next year when the results of this study have come in and we're talking about now implementation. The industry will be a year more mature at that point. It could have all the banking problems figured out by then, and this could be just a slam dunk.
I know I have some work in front of me here, but I'm really looking forward to it. And so I will have to put something on the calendar. I will be more than happy to come back and discuss this again.
Thank you, Shelley. We've been talking with Representative Shelley Kloba of Kirkland, Washington. She's a Democrat representing the 1st Legislative District, and this has been Capital Ideas. If you feel like you got something good out of the last 12 minutes, why not subscribe to Capital Ideas on iTunes or at housedemocrats.wa.gov? What we're talking about here is your state government. What happens here matters a whole lot. The more you know about how it works, the better it can work for you. I'm Dan Frizzell for the Washington State House Democrats, and I thank you for listening.